Step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. The first part implies having had a spiritual awakening as the result. It doesn't say a result. It says the result of these steps. The second part is we try to carry this message to alcoholics. And the third part is to practice these principles in all our affairs. You see, what I've discovered is that the real work is step 12. You see, what the steps do is they prepare me to do the real work. And that's what we're going to talk about today. There's a chapter 7, beginning on page 89, which is entirely devoted to working with others. Numerous times through the years, I've heard people say, you know, I really wish we had some literature on sponsorship. We have a whole chapter on sponsorship. It's called Working with Others. What I love about this chapter is that the authors give me specific, clear-cut directions. What to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do, when to do it, when not to do it. If you haven't read this chapter, I would strongly encourage you to do so. We're going to cover some of the highlights of this. Let's start with page 89, paragraph 1. Page 89, paragraph 1. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. So maybe it's essential that I work with other people. Page 90, paragraph 1. Page 90, paragraph 1. When you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, find out all you can about him. In other words, let him talk. Let her talk. Find out who it is you're dealing with. What this does for me is gives me some perspective, which direction to take. If he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. It's a waste of time to work with someone who's not willing to work with you. Because when I do that, I'm depriving another alcoholic, and I am depriving me. Okay, paragraph 2, page 90. If there is any indication that he wants to stop, have a good talk with the person most interested in him, usually his wife. Get an idea of his behavior, his problems, his background, the seriousness of his condition, and his religious leanings. You need this information to put yourself in his place, to see how you would like him to approach you if the tables were turned. Once again, we want to get as much information as we can about the person. Next paragraph, six lines down. Then let his family or friend ask him if he wants to quit for good and if he would go to any extreme to do so. How many people in here want to quit for good? Are you willing to go to any extreme to do so? Page 91, paragraph 3. Page 91, paragraph 3. See your man alone, if possible, at first engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell him about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak of himself. If we're encouraging him to speak, that means we're going to listen. We're not going to sit down and preach to the person and tell him, this is what you need to do. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. You will thus get a better idea of how you ought to proceed. If he is not communicative, give him a sketch of your drinking career up to the time you quit. This is very important. But say nothing for the moment of how that was accomplished. If he is in a serious mood, dwell on the troubles liquor has caused you, being careful not to moralize or lecture. If his mood is light, tell him human stories of your escapades. Get him to tell some of his. When he sees you know all about the drinking game, commence to describe yourself as an alcoholic. Tell him how baffled you were, how you finally learned that you were sick. Give him an account of the struggle you made to stop. Show him the mental twist which leads to the first drink of a spree. We suggest you do this as we have done it in the chapter on alcoholism. If he is alcoholic, he will understand you at once. He will match your mental inconsistencies with some of his own. If you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, begin to dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady. Show him from your own experience. That's what we stick to, our own experience. How the queer mental condition surrounding that first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. Don't at this stage refer to this book. unless he has seen it and wishes to discuss it. And be careful not to brand him as an alcoholic. Let him draw his own conclusion. So when I work with new guys, I go into it not assuming that they're alcoholic. What I do is I go into it giving them the dignity of finding the truth about their experience. Next paragraph, page 92, which is paragraph 2. Continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Talk about the conditions of body and mind which accompany it. Keep his attention focused mainly on your personal experience. That's why I'm there, to share my experience, not my opinions, not my ideas, not what church he should go to, who he should be married to or not be married to, what job he should have. That's none of my business. Page 93, third line from the top. Now, notice, before we read this, up to this point, basically all we've done is listen. I'm swapping experiences with him. I'm sharing some of my mental inconsistencies, the mental obsession, some of the things that occurred to me when I was drinking. And then they tell us this, third line from the top of page 93. Tell me exactly what happened to you. Stress the spiritual feature freely. So see, up to this point, I'm not going to even mention it. If the man be agnostic or atheist, make it emphatic that he does not have to agree with your conception of God. He can choose any conception he likes, provided it makes sense to him. So you see, his understanding of God doesn't have to make sense to me. What's most important is that it makes sense to him. The main thing is that he be willing to believe in a power greater than himself and that he live by spiritual principles. Okay, turn to page 95, paragraph 2. Page 95, paragraph 2. If he is not interested in your solution, if he expects you to act only as a banker for his financial difficulties or a nurse for his freeze, you may have to drop him until he changes his mind. I'm not a banker. I'm not a hotel. I'm there to share my experience, strength, and hope with him. Page 96, paragraph 1. Page 96, paragraph 1. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. Sounds like Bill Wilson. First 12 guys that he worked with didn't stay sober. He was disappointed. He went back to his wife, Lois, and said, you know, I've been talking to these drunks and none of them are staying sober. She said, well, you are. So you see, when I work with others, it does not matter whether they stay sober. It does not matter if they follow through. It does not matter if they call. If they're not willing to work with me, I find another person. Notice also, it doesn't say anywhere in this book, to my knowledge, that I go to meetings and I kick back and I wait for the newcomer to come to me. Where would this program be if Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob did that? If they sat home and said, you know, nope, the phone hasn't rang. They sought them out. Have you ever noticed newcomers in meetings raising their hands and saying, hi, my name's John, I'm an alcoholic, and I need a sponsor. I need to work with somebody. You know what I do? When they ask for, are there any other AA announcements, I raise my hand. Hi, I'm Paul, I'm an alcoholic, and I need to work with somebody and take them through the steps. So if there's anyone here that needs to be taken through the steps, please see me after the meeting. I have a responsibility to be available to the newcomer. That means I'm not going to wait for them to come to me. I'm simply sharing with you what I was taught to do by my first sponsor. So when I'm at a meeting, there might be 10 people there that I want to hug from that I'm close to. But if there are newcomers there and they stand up, I'm going to ask them, do you have a sponsor? And if they say no, I don't ask them if they want one. That's what my book says. I don't ask them if they want a sponsor. I sign myself. I say, well, you've got one now. I'm your sponsor. Well, what if I don't want you to be my sponsor? Well, then go get another one. But the point is, I'm taking responsibility for carrying the message of hope to the alcoholic. Hey, let's go grab some coffee. You open to doing that? Then we sit down, and I do as outlined in this book. Sit down and get more information from the person. Find out who it is I'm dealing with. See, I don't know about the rest of you. I want to stay sober. I want to be free. I cannot be free by not working with others. My 20 years of sobriety will not keep me sober. Sobriety does not keep me sober. That's simply a gift. That gift isn't going to keep me sober. Remember, I'm a real alcoholic. I can't survive on the food I received yesterday. I need new spiritual food today. And I can't rely on what I did yesterday to maintain what I'm experiencing today. Here's something to consider. What would happen to AA if everybody in AA did sobriety the way you're doing it today? What would happen to AA if everybody in AA was doing sobriety the way you're doing it today? I have a responsibility when I go to meetings today to carry a message of hope. What that means is this. I am not there to talk about my problems. That's what sponsors are for. That's what coffee before the meeting, coffee after the meeting is for. Stop and think about it. You go to a meeting, you dump, you whine, you complain. You got some new person in there. Do you think that person wants to come back? The point I'm trying to make is this. Those of us that have gone through the steps and have had a spiritual awakening, we have a responsibility to carry hope to the meetings. So when that newcomer comes in and he hears hope, he or she wants to return to that meeting. I'm coming back to this meeting. I heard a lot of hope. Page 97, paragraph 1, line 2. Page 97, paragraph 1, line 2. Helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. You have to act the Good Samaritan every day if need be. It may mean the loss of many nights' sleep, great interference with your pleasures, interruptions to your business. So ask yourself, do I have a foundation stone? Am I working with others? Am I helping other people? Page 98, paragraph 1, line 8. Page 98, paragraph 1, line 8. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no job. We simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. My sobriety is not contingent on my sponsor. It's not dependent on him. It's important that I have one. It's important that I maintain contact with him. Bring the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trusts in God and clean house. Last line on page 99. Last line on page 99. Remind the prospect that his recovery is not dependent upon people. It is dependent upon his relationship with God. Notice it does not say that it is dependent on God. It is dependent upon his relationship. Now, this is where prayer and meditation comes back in. If I'm going to have a relationship with someone, that assumes that I'm going to spend time with them. Is that correct? So if I'm going to have a relationship with my friend Michael here, that means I need to spend time with him. I need to talk to him, and I need to listen. A relationship isn't where I'm doing all the talking. That's not a relationship. A relationship involves talking and listening. Paragraph 1, page 100. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. If I persist, remarkable. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. Page 102. Page 102, paragraph 2. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. So if I'm doing the work, which is working with others, I'm carrying the message, not the mess, not my opinions, not my ideas. What I've learned as a result of going through these steps on a repeated basis and continuing to work with others, that when I sponsor someone, I have only three responsibilities. Only three. Take them through the 12 steps. Tell them the truth and love them. To love them simply means let them be right where they are. It's important for me to let the guys I sponsor to let them struggle. I'm not there to repair their struggles. which reminds me of a story of a little boy who goes out to the woods, and he sees a butterfly in a cocoon struggling to get out. He decides to help the butterfly. So he pulls out his pocket knife and he opens up the cocoon so the butterfly can get all the way out. The butterfly is able to get all the way out of the cocoon, and then he falls to the ground and dies. The little boy runs home and he asks his father, he says, "Daddy, Daddy, I tried to help this butterfly and he died. What happened?" And the father says, "Well, son, you know, that butterfly needed to struggle so it could develop the strength, so it could fly."
Beginner's Big Book provides sharing partners for this meeting only. They can work with you on a one-to-one basis to take all 12 steps and be recovered from alcoholism. Any men or women who want to take the 12 steps, please connect with a sharing partner. Will the sharing partners who want to work with others please raise your hand? Thank you. In honor of our AA pioneers and the old tradition, we'll simply stand without holding hands and close this meeting with the Lord's Prayer.